Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
The Greco-Roman world into which Jesus was born hardly knew what to do with that narrow strip of land on the eastern Mediterranean, which was then known as Palestine. When Romans built a gymnasium and baths at Caesarea, the Jews revolted. Eventually, Caesar sent his legions who subdued the rebellion. Then politicians discreetly formed alliances with Jewish leaders whose loyalty to Rome was unquestioned. Herod the Tetrarch, a Jew by birth who was hated for his relationship with Rome, ruled Galilee during Jesus' ministry. So when vast throngs of people came to hear Jesus, and he spoke of establishing the kingdom of God, no wonder the Jews were nervous. This kind of talk could be considered sedition. But Jesus, striving to help men and women know that the invisible kingdom of which he spoke was within the hearts of men and women, told them, "The kingdom of God is within you." They didn't believe him. No, they didn't understand either. So how was his kingdom, this invisible kingdom in the hearts of men, different from the kingdoms of the world? Good question. Among the many differences are five characteristics which clearly distinguish God's kingdom. First is that God's kingdom is a kingdom of joy. In his letter to Roman Christians who lived in the shadows of the imperial city, the one from which the Caesars ruled, Paul explained, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Joy, said someone, is the flag flown over the castle of your heart when the king has taken up residence and rules from the throne of your heart. Remember, God's kingdom is an invisible one. It's within you. It's God's rule in your personal life. Some words, believes George Sweeney, were coined for use only by God's children and are understood in a spiritual context. He's right. Joy is one of them. Surprisingly, the word joy is mentioned over 200 times in some 40 references found in the Bible. Surprised by Joy was the title of his book when C.S. Lewis described his pilgrimage from atheism to faith in God. Jesus' instruction to seek God's kingdom was part of an address we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's begun with a series of blessings. Remember, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, the meek," and so forth. The blessing of God in the lives of those who are citizens of God's kingdom produces a deep-seated joy which isn't dependent on your health, your wealth, your digestion, or your circumstances. It's based on your relationship with God, who has touched your life for the better. Long ago, the psalmist said, "In my presence," speaking of God's presence, "is fullness of joy," which tells me that heaven isn't a crying place. When David's relationship with God was broken by his sin with Bathsheba, he cried out, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." When Jesus was here, even in the week prior to his crucifixion, he spoke to his disciples of having joy in the face of adversity. He said, "I have told you what is to happen, so my joy may be in you. Ask and you shall receive," he promised, "that your joy may be full." Then Paul adds that joy is one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in your life as a Spirit-filled believer. There's more to follow on this series on the invisible kingdom, but suffice it to say, if you are joyless, you're missing something which God intends, something very important.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.